this is the kind of sentimental chump that I am. You know, so we checked out of our hotel this morning in Durham. But I took my bags to the car, but I still had to go back to the room to pick up one more bag. So I go back up to the room, but it's just after 12 and my key no longer works. So now I have to go down to the front desk and get a new key and go back to my room and get the last bag. So I do that. But I'm such a sentimental fool. I go back into the room. We stayed in this room two nights. It's a hotel room like any other hotel room we stayed in. I go back into that room to get my bag, and I go, oh, look, there's that room I stayed in. I did. I swear to God, I did. There was just that brief moment of, oh, yeah, I remember staying in here.
I was just here 4 minutes ago. Oh, and you're wistful.
I'm wistful. Tragic or pathetic? Discuss.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. Thanks for bringing us along. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 156, Small Town Touring. Welcome to the final Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. It has been a fantastic 3 years of regular weekly podcasting. We have not missed a single episode in the last 156 weeks. We've had quite the journey, and it feels only right to complete the journey by focusing on the nuts and bolts, the bread and butter, the hale and pace of what the Reduced Shakespeare Company does, and that is touring. Sometimes to big cities like Washington, D.C., or San Francisco, or Boston, or Chicago, or London, or Amsterdam. Sometimes to bustling state capitals and college towns like Madison, Wisconsin, where we opened this week for our 3-week run at the Overture Center. And sometimes to very small towns like Decorah, Iowa, or Epsom in Surrey, England, or Houghton, Michigan, or... So we're here at Allegheny College in beautiful, lovely Meadville, Pennsylvania, which is not the middle of nowhere, but it's close.
It's next door. It's next door to middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's near Erie. It's between Erie and Pittsburgh in western Pennsylvania.
They said it was like in the middle of the triangle between Buffalo, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh.
Which is a hell of a triangle. But it's beautiful because it's October and the trees are colorful and it's kind of rainy and overcast and it's kind of cool. It's nice, but it's like we're hitting a lot of, on this leg of the fall of 2009, we're hitting a lot of small college towns and places we've never been. We've never played here. We'd never played Luther College in wherever that was, Decorah, Iowa. Mm-hmm. That was Storm Lake, Iowa. What's it like going to all these small towns? Is it different than... What are the major differences?
You feel like you're entering Norman Rockwell paintings. you meet some of the nicest people, but it's like, you know, if you're flying into a very small airport, you have to remember that if you're the last flight getting in at night, they're going to shut down the luggage carousel when they're done and lock up the bags and go home. Mm-hmm. So you go get your luggage first before you rent the car. That's the first thing.
I discovered that to my cost last night. I went and got the car first and then my bag, Allie had to go chase down my bag. Bless you, Allie.
Yeah, but people are so very, very nice in the smaller towns at airports, mm-hmm. and it so makes up for it.
Yeah, you know, it's like going into a little mom and pop airport.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, I have to go tell Sven. He's got your bag back there.
Right. Everybody's on a first name basis.
Yeah,
which is great. But also, there's all these little places, these great places you've discovered, and you keep going back to in like the Midwest, in Wisconsin, home of cheese curds and pies. What am I getting that right?
Yes, the Norske Nook pies.
Oh, Lord. I just love you saying that. You could just keep saying it.
Norske Nook. We took Mick back there to the microbrewery and pie and restaurant.
And what town is this in?
It's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
All right.
And we did find out that the very first Norske Nook pie place was in Osseo, Wisconsin, which is what they had passed through, which was on the podcast last year.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah. But we took Mick back there this year. And I didn't realize that he didn't realize that this was the place. We came in the front door, and he plastered himself against the glass to the microbrewery with his hands up like a little kid going, this is it! This is it! This is the place!
Pies! Pies!
Yeah.
Well, and Dustin Sullivan had been with you on the first time you went there, and then he called Dustin the second time?
We sat down and ate, and it was all-you-can-eat buffalo wings and short ribs, And he immediately called both Dustin and Jeff, who had been on the tour last year, and said, guess where I am? Guess where we are?
And Dustin said,
you're at the pie place.
He knew. He knew. Now, what's the story you were telling, Rip, about Mick? Someplace that had free beer? I want to go back to this town. Well, yeah, is it?
This is why I love touring and touring to small towns. Funnily enough, they might be smaller towns, but we've had huge audiences. Oh, so, nice. I mean, that's a nice combination. Yeah. And for me, small towns are great because, you know, I live in London, which is, I think, 7 million people at night, but it explodes to 11 million during the day. And if you were to say that there's a bar down the street that's offering free beer until it runs out, it would be jam-packed with people. But we were at a little place in Storm Lake called Brewster's, recommended by the nice folks at the school. And they said, yeah, go to Brewster's. It's really great. You know, there's pool table, you know, there's TVs on and free beer. I'm like, free beer? And like, yeah, free beer tonight. We just couldn't believe it. So we went just to see if they were pulling our leg. And sure enough, there was free beer. The proprietor basically says, I'll put 2 barrels on, and it's yours until it's gone. Wow. Now, you would think, if this were London or any place else, that place would have been... Any normal place would have been jam-packed with people fighting over the free beer. But no, it was really chilled out. There's maybe 15, 20 of us there.
And this is Storm Lake.
In Storm Lake. Oh, I shouldn't... Don't tell people this. Don't put this in the podcast. I want it to be the best-kept secret.
Okay. I'll definitely edit this right out. But then what happened? Was it just the same bar that Mick Orff, who is famous in the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and probably to podcast listeners as well for his love of finding a card game?
Yeah.
Was this the place?
This is the place. In fact, it was like a dream, an oasis. Mick is the first in the door, and we're heading to the free beer bar, and Mick peels off to the right and immediately accosts this table. Of people playing poker. And we look over, we're like, Mick, beer, Mick. But we couldn't get his attention because he's raising up his shirt.
What?
And showing them his nipples.
Yes.
Can I say that in a podcast?
You can say nipples.
I just did.
He's doing what?
We've said it twice now. Well, we didn't know why. We just thought, what, has Mick just gone off the deep end? So when he comes back to the bar, we're like, dude, you just went up to a table playing poker and showed them your nipples? And he said, well, I told them I was so excited that they were playing a game. He said, I was so excited my nipples got hard. And their response to that was, prove it. So
he did.
He did.
It's like Mick walks in the door and he's got ESP as to, like, there's a poker table over there. We didn't even notice it.
In addition to all the other great things about Brewster's, poker going on, pool tables, free beer, there was also the most beautiful woman behind the bar serving.
Oh.
It was just everything one could want in a bar.
What are your small town stories, Allie? But you live in a small town. You live in Sonoma.
Yeah, I live in Mayberry.
So do you prefer it when we go to bigger cities? Or do you have a preference when you go out on the road?
Sonoma's a small town, but it's close enough to metropolitan areas. Yeah. I mean, it's 40 minutes away from San Francisco if you drive really fast.
Yeah.
But when we're in little places like Storm Lake or Decorah, where there's nothing there, when we get into town at 10 o'clock at night, and we can get frozen burritos at the gas station or not have dinner.
Yeah.
And like when we went to Storm Lake and we were told that everything, you know, nothing's open past 4 o'clock and it was 5. So we went to Walmart and got some snacks, but we found a bar that was open till like 11:30 at night. But the ladies at the counter didn't want us to go drinking, is what we figured out.
Oh, the ladies at the counter of the hotel.
Yes, they.
Oh, they're looking after you, after your own best interests.
They were, oh no, nothing's open after 5.
Well, we phrased it wrong, you see, because we basically said, we want to go out and have a laugh, get some beers in, where should we go? And they looked at us so disapproving. Oh, they said nowhere, not here in Storm Lake.
Oh, no,
we don't do that. And we found all sorts of, we found another brewery.
We did, yeah.
We hang out in breweries, I think.
So Storm Lake is a happening place for activity.
It's something.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Tell them about Hattiesburg.
What about Hattiesburg?
Is there a story about Hattiesburg, Pennsylvania?
I had to leave there at like 4 in the morning, I think, and poor Allie had to FedEx trunks out.
Is it Jackson, Mississippi or Jacksonville?
I think so.
This is a year ago,
to Pennsylvania.
Well, you guys had to get to Pennsylvania. I had to get home, but the nearest airport to Hattiesburg was
Jackson,
and that was like a 3-hour drive from Hattiesburg, and there are 2 flights that go anywhere near Pennsylvania, and one leaves at 5:30 in the morning, and the other one leaves at like 4:30 at night.
Oh, Lord.
So to get them there, even though my flight was much later, my flight was at noon to go back to San Francisco, I had to drive and we all drove and I had to FedEx the trunks off and they had to be overnight shipped to Pennsylvania. Oh. And actually, there's a Sheetz here in town and I couldn't figure out what it was, why it was familiar. After I dropped them off at the airport, but before FedEx opened to accept the trunks, I slept in a parking lot at Sheetz in the minivan.
Oh,
and
that doesn't seem safe.
I had just settled down. It was really well lit. There was no one around, but the gas station was close.
Okay.
And there was a knock on the window, and I thought, oh no, somebody found me in the car. And it was this old man who said, do you want me to turn the light off so you can have some sleep? So he turned off the streetlight that I had parked somewhere near so I could have some darkness to sleep in for the 2 hours until FedEx opened. And then I could check in for my flight once I had lost the minivan and the trunks. And then,
you're not going to get that kind of service in a big city.
You're not. No one will offer to turn a streetlight off for you, really.
They'll shoot it out, but they won't.
Right, but they won't just flip a switch. So you can have a couple of hours sleep when you look exhausted.
Wow, that's crazy.
I love that story. I went to a very small town once where we were getting some interference in the speakers, and they told me it was a local radio station, and they'd call because they knew him, and he'd turn their output down.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's lovely. Well, we still play Houghton, Michigan, but we used to play in this old, great, beautiful vaudeville theater in Calumet.
Yeah.
Just the little town over, and literally the motel we would stay at was right across the street, and it was just the bare bones most basic motel you've ever been in. But the only problem with it was that the snowmobilers like to stay there. We're always there in the dead of winter for some stupid reason, and the snow actually comes in under the doors of your room, so that's how you know. And also the snowmobilers get up way early. So aside from that, it was perfect. That was.
We were just in Houghton, and it's still very, very small, but we were actually playing at the Rosa Center at the campus.
On the campus, yeah.
But it was parents' weekend, and like someone was having their 16th birthday party, so the ballroom at the, were we in a Super 8?
Oh, I know that Super 8.
Yes.
So we were right on the river.
The ballroom
right
on the river.
At the Super 8, right on the river.
Yeah.
Beautiful view. It was rainy.
Yeah.
But so they had rented out the ballroom there because it was parents' weekend, and every other venue was full.
Mm.
So they partied well into the night.
Oh.
Right across the wall from Michael's.
Oh, that ain't fun. Yeah.
So, small towns, not so much for parties.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Mark Mathis. I'm one of the hosts on Fox News Rising. We had the Reduced Shakespeare Company on our show, and they were fantastic.
Woo!
Am I really supposed to say that? Because, yeah, they were good. Okay, they were okay. No, they were great. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Enjoy.
Where can you see the RSC? This week, we begin our three-week run at the Overture Center in Madison, Wisconsin, on December 3rd. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And thanks to all of you who voted for the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast for the People's Choice Cultural Arts Podcast Award. Today, November 30th, 2009, is the last day to vote for the 2009 awards. And as always, we thank you for your support. As soon as the votes are tallied, we'll let you know the results. And now, fortunately, with all of our small-town touring, we have an excellent way of keeping track of where we've been. Reed Martin keeps a map in his office, and he sticks pins in it for every city we've ever played. At least, I think he still keeps sticking pins in it.
Do you still do it? Do you still maintain this famous, infamous map?
I maintain my infamous map. It started when I was on the circus. We played, I think, 84 cities in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had the wanderlust. And so I got a little map, and I had my little round map pins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd stick a pin in on the map everywhere we went. And
uh-huh.
So then when I joined the RSC, I changed the colors. So the red ones are the circus and the green ones are RSC.
Oh, did you break the? You haven't broken down the RSC into shows like red for America and green, beige for Bible? Or
No, but and I don't put a second pin in if we play the same venue. Now, for instance, we're taping this. We happen to be taping this in Walnut Creek.
Right.
Well, we're playing a different venue in the same town, so I would put a second stick pin into Walnut Creek. Now, if we were playing in the same theater, I would not put it. You know, there's all kinds of things you got to think about.
Well, we are in the same venue in the same town, but we're in a different theater in the same venue.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I see.
So ineloquently.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This is a complex with several theaters in it. We're playing a different theater in the same complex, so I would stick in a second pin because this is a different theater.
Wow. And where is this Hall of Fame shrine in your home?
Yes, in the Reed Martin Creative Nerve Center, my office, which looks like a dumpster has been tipped in there. I'm sure it looks like your office,
yeah,
probably.
Very similar to mine.
Yeah, where all the great ideas come from.
Yeah. Well, they say, this is horrible. How could you get anything done? This is you need it to be clean and austere and, you know, and pure. But it's like, if it's that neat, well, where do the ideas come from? You know.
Well, mine is littered with all kinds of memorabilia and dusty old mugs and little, you know, Disney figurines,
right,
and everything. And it, I don't know, it seems to feed me. Jane looks in there and she goes, Reed, you got to clean it. And she's right. Every 6 months, I do need to go because it just starts to pile.
Right, right. Well, they say, oh, a disorganized office is a sign of a disorganized mind. But I say a clean blank office is a sign of a clean blank mind. So, neener.
Let me write that down. Dear Jane, a clean office is a sign.
But do you have it actually on the wall, or is it leaning over in a corner somewhere?
It's on top of a bookshelf.
All right.
And so I can take it down and put the stick pins in.
But you maintain it. You've been doing this now since the circus days, so that's a long time. That's 20 years?
Yeah, since 1988.
But this map is kind of big. I mean, it shows the entire United States, or is it a world map?
No, I have a U.S. Canada map. We haven't played too much in Canada, but we've played Montreal and Vancouver and Thunder Bay. That's almost it.
Right.
I have a second map. It's pretty big. It's probably maybe 5 feet across and 4 feet high of the U.S. I also have one of England and Ireland, because we've done a lot of touring over there with stick pins of all the towns. And
well, particularly in England and Ireland, and even in some of the small towns we play, is there room on the map to get actually a pin in the small towns that we play?
It's always a challenge when you play someplace very small. We don't play too many places that literally are not on the map, because they have to have enough population to have a theater.
Right.
But where were we just in Pennsylvania?
Meadville.
Yeah, Meadville.
Yeah.
And so I knew we were going to Pennsylvania, and we were flying in, what did we fly into, Erie?
But
it's fun. I don't know. It's just my thing. It's fun to get out the old atlas. And it's an atlas. I don't go online. I pull out the old atlas and say, where is Meadville? And I go and I look and say, oh, I see. It's right on the edge of Western Pennsylvania. Oh, that's cool. And people say, well, it's fun to go to a big city, right? Yes, it is. What about these little towns? And I've enjoyed going. If it's probably someplace I've never been. Mm-hmm. I just get a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these places are really interesting. Some of them feel like throwbacks.
Yeah.
You know, it's old Main Street USA. If it's an interesting town like that, that's great. If it's not an interesting town, I'm going to be gone tomorrow. Plus, I get to put in a new pin.
Right. How bad could it be?
I also umpired as a professional minor league umpire in four cities. So I have...
What color are those?
Those are the red pins.
Okay.
Yes. No, there's no more adding on to those. There's going to remain 8 professional umpiring pins.
Well, but you also have this mission in life to go to visit every professional major league ballpark. Are those a color?
Those aren't. And I'm losing ground. Like, for this year, I lost ground in New York City. They opened 2 new ballparks. There's many ballparks now because I've been at...
Had you never been to the previous...
I had been to both Shea Stadium and the old Yankee Stadium, or I guess it's the middle Yankee Stadium, which had been refurbished in the mid-70s.
Yeah, right.
But now, there's 2 new ballparks to see in New York. There's a new ballpark in San Diego. It's funny, they're shutting down the Metrodome in the Twin Cities, and I never saw a game there. I saw one at Metropolitan Stadium, which was the stadium before the Metrodome. So,
what are your memories of Ebbets Field?
Ebbets Field, Brooklyn in those days was just a bustling borough. Everybody loved Duke Snyder and Gil Hodges, Roy Campanella.
Sure.
He would just play stickball with the kids in the street.
And did you dodge the streetcars like all the other Brooklyn Dodgers did?
I suggested the name.
Really? That was you?
Yeah. They'd sometimes call them the Robins after Wilfred Robinson, their old-time manager. And I said, well, you got to dodge trolleys to get across the street here to Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. Why don't you call them the Dodgers? And then, ironically, I'm a Giants fan.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your tales of small-town touring via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at both our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also find us at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or best of all, become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. There are links to all of these social networks at our website,
website, ReduceShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, John Cougar Mellencamp, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jennifer Stegeman. No reason. It's just random. Special thanks to Mark Mathis from Fox News Rising in Charlotte, North Carolina. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. As I said, this is the final Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast, the final podcast of our third year of regular weekly podcasting. Next week begins our fourth year of regular weekly podcasting, and we hope you'll continue to listen. See you next time. I'm Austin Titchener, 156, 468ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
We need to open the house. Allie,
we need to open the house.
All right. Well,
we're standing on the stage. We have to open the house.
Fine.
You can open the house. They can open the house. They're not going to bother us if the audience comes walking in.
Yeah. They'll probably tell better stories than we are.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less.